You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on August 5th, 2021. This week, we're going to be talking about the declining confidence that Americans have in churches. And related to that, there's a declining confidence in so-called pastors. What does this mean for us and our efforts to reach others with the gospel? We'll discuss that in today's episode. So for links to the story that we'll be talking about, as well as some related materials, you can check out the show notes, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/080521. So now for our story this week. Americans' confidence in church drops to near historic low. From Lifeway Research, Americans' confidence in major U.S. institutions, including the church, fell in 2021 after a brief increase during the 2020 pandemic. According to Gallup's annual tracking poll, an average of 33% of U.S. adults say they have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in 14 institutions, down from 36% in 2020. Now, to clarify, and this will be more clear when you look at the charts that are included in the show notes, this means that 33% of U.S. adults have quite a lot of confidence in church, which means that 67%, or two-thirds, don't have much or any confidence in the so-called church. And here's a related stat that was from the same article that we need to notice as well. The trajectory of confidence in the church as an institution mirrors the decline of trust in pastors, according to Gallup's annual ratings of professions. In 2018, pastors reached their lowest mark at 37%, who say ministers have a high or very high honesty. In 2019, that climbed back up to 40%, before dipping back down to 39% in 2020. Now, we talked about this point about so-called pastors as part of an episode back in January, and there'll be a link in the show notes to that episode. We talked about it in with a couple other stories, so we didn't spend a lot of time on that particular one in that episode. So I wanted to spend a little bit more time talking about that today. And as a disclaimer, which I also mentioned in that previous episode, these statistics are about the trust of so-called pastors. The concept that people have of the role of a pastor is really more of a hybrid between the preacher and the elder as they're described in the New Testament. So these numbers, really what they show is what the general attitude is toward preachers today. Because from the outside looking in, what you see as what people would label as a pastor more closely resembles the preacher. As we look at that in the New Testament, the pastors have more responsibilities, but that's more in leadership in the church and things of that nature as far as the denominational concept of a pastor. But as far as what the general public sees, the closer parallel between these pastors as people are commenting on them and answering questions about them in these surveys, more closely to what we would see in the role of a preacher, particularly a located preacher, in the New Testament. So we need to understand that the reason for that is because we could nitpick about, well, what is a preacher, what is a pastor, and this concept is not really what the New Testament teaches. That may be true, but the general public does not make the same distinction that the New Testament does. And so for that reason, we kind of have to deal with that reality, that the perception of pastors is going to be projected onto preachers. Just as the perception of churches in general, that's going to be projected onto the church where we are a member, even though we may be say, well, look at how we're different from all these other churches. Again, that may be true, but the perception by the public is going to be equated between all of these local groups. Also, and again, you can check out the show notes to see a couple of charts that show just how these numbers have declined. The confidence in churches and the Trust in Pastors, and it's really a sharp decline as you look over a number of years. It goes up and down from year to year, but overall, it is a very steep decline in both of those areas. Now, I believe that all Christians are aware of the need to evangelize. We naturally want to reach others with the gospel. We can do this as individuals by taking the word of God to others. Acts 8 and verse 4 talk about the disciples. When they were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the word. Didn't say that, well, the apostles did that. No, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. The disciples, they went everywhere preaching the word. We are to be ready to give an answer when people ask us questions about the hope that is in us, as 1 Peter 3:15 says. Those are things we do as individuals. That's our responsibility. And we also do this as local churches. The church is the pillar and support of the truth, as 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 says. The church in Thessalonica is left as a model for us because Paul described them in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8 as sounding forth the word from where they were to their city, their region, and even beyond that. They were able to carry out the work of evangelism. So everyone, as far as Christians, recognize the need for evangelism. But how can we effectively reach others with the gospel when churches and preachers are not viewed favorably, at least by the majority of the general public? They're not viewed favorably, but instead they're viewed with suspicion. Well, the solution to this is not to quit trying to evangelize. It's not to quit inviting others to worship services and Bible studies. It's not to quit using different mediums to try to spread the word and teach, whether it's through mail or newspapers or radio or social media or whatever it might be. The solution to this problem, this challenge, is not to say, well, people aren't interested, and so we're just going to, you know, not even do anything. We're not going to try. We're not going to try to reach them because people just aren't interested. They're not going to listen. Instead, we need to be doing something. So what is it that we need to be doing? What do we need to keep in mind given the climate in our society? I want us to consider 4 points here today. Knowing the situation that we are in, knowing the state of our society, that churches are not viewed favorably by the majority of people, pastors, as the world labels them, or we would say preachers, those who publicly proclaim the word of God, they're not viewed favorably by the majority of people. What does that mean as far as how we need to go about trying to reach others? Number one, don't think that it's the preacher's job to reach the lost. Now, when I make that point that it's not the preacher's job to reach the lost, don't think that I'm saying that the preacher should not be trying to reach the lost. The point is that we should not think that it is exclusively the preacher's job. This is every Christian's job. And what's interesting is that if you get your Bible out and read through 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, the books written by Paul to two evangelists, books that provide a comprehensive set of instructions about the role and work of preachers, they don't talk about teaching the lost. Those books focus on Timothy and Titus, their character, and how they were to teach Christians. It doesn't talk about going out and evangelizing, going out and reaching the lost. Why doesn't it talk about that? Why didn't Paul have anything to say in those three letters? Why didn't he talk about anything about teaching the lost? Well, it's not because preachers don't teach the lost. We've already, I've already made that disclaimer. It's because it's not their job as a preacher. It's their job as a Christian to try to reach out and teach the lost, which means that it's a job for all of us to do that. your friends and your family, because of the climate that we're in, they may distrust pastors or preachers, but they know you. And they're more likely to trust you. Use that to your advantage. Take advantage of that relationship to influence them in the truth. Don't think that, well, I just wish they could talk to the preacher. They may not want to talk to the preacher. They can talk to you. You can talk to them. So don't think that it's, quote, the preacher's job to reach the lost. That's for all of us. Second point, don't answer Bible questions with, my preacher said this, or our church does this. Now, there are some times where we might answer that way because that's the specific question they're asking. What did your preacher, or what does he teach about this? Or what does your church do in this setting, or as far as this gathering or worship service, what is your church? Those types of questions, yes, you can say, well, my preacher said this. He's taught this before. Or our church practices this. But if someone is asking a Bible question, show them or offer to show them from the Bible what the Bible says about it. If someone is asking what you believe, explain what you believe and give a reasonable answer for that. It also means you need to be firm in your convictions on that, not just say, well, I'll just rely on someone else to have an answer for me. But we all need to have an answer. Know what you believe. And if someone asks you what you believe, be willing to say what you believe. Not, well, my preacher said this. Well, is the preacher right? If the preacher's right, it shouldn't just be what the preacher said. Because I believe this because the Bible says this. So make sure you're answering questions from what the Bible says and what your conviction is, not what the preacher said, because that's not the standard. Not, well, our church does this, because that's not the standard either. We have to be pointing people to the Bible, to the Word of God. Third point, set a good example of what a Christian ought to be. If people are inclined to distrust churches and preachers, or according to that, the poll, pastors, however people want to view that in the world, they're inclined to distrust them. Realize that they probably have a good reason, at least in their own mind. They have a good reason for why they distrust them. They may have had some bad experience. They may have heard about churches or so-called pastors who aren't what they should be. And this makes it all the more important for you. And you are the primary one who's going to be influencing the people who are around you, not the rest of the people in your church, not your preacher. You are the one who is the primary one to influence them. It is all the more important that you are being what you ought to be. 1 Peter 2:12, Peter said, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Don't be a hypocrite. That's what people want to point out. That's what people use as an excuse to turn them off from following God, looking at the Bible. Don't be a hypocrite. Let others see in you a genuine and sincere example of a Christian. And then the fourth point, as churches, we need to be mindful of this attitude that exists in the world around us. Now, that does not mean that we compromise the truth or try to hide what we really are so that we can try to reach more people. But it does mean that we need to be patient. We need to encourage members to build connections with those outside of the church in order to be a light to them. And in everything we do, make sure that we are pointing people to Jesus rather than appearing to, like we're trying to build a fan club centered around a preacher. We've all known churches that it seems like it's just a fan club for the preacher. That's not what we're trying to do. The preacher may be doing a great job, but the church is not the fan club for the preacher. And the church is not a social club focused on worldly interests. And we have all these in common, so that's why we all come together. We may have things in common, but that's not why we come together. It's because we're striving to follow Christ, and we're trying to encourage one another in that. 2 Corinthians 4:5, Paul said, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake." He was trying to point people to Christ. We need to be trying to point people to Christ so they can put their trust in Him. We're not trying to get them to trust the preacher or trust, quote unquote, the church, the institution of the church. Not trying to belittle those. The work of preaching is important. The local church is vitally important. But people need to recognize who Christ is first and be drawn to Him. Once they figure that out, then the others will fall in place. We can't get the cart before the horse, to use an expression. We need to point them to Christ first. So the changes that have taken place in our culture over the last few decades certainly provide more challenges to our efforts to spread the gospel. This does not mean we give up, but we do need to recognize what we're going to encounter. So those that we interact with, they may not trust churches or pastors or preachers, whatever term that they have in their mind. They may not trust them, but each one of us can prove through our good example and our genuine concern for them, they can trust us. And many times, that's going to be the first step to try to lead them to the truth. They learn to trust us. They learn to have recognized that we are looking out for their best interests. They learn that. Then they're more open to what we have to say on what the Bible teaches, what we believe. They are more open to ask us questions about those types of things. So we need to be a good example. Show what a Christian ought to be. Be concerned for them and build those connections so that we might be able to use those to eventually lead people to the truth. Now, for a few links about more on the topic of evangelism and also that podcast episode I mentioned earlier, where we talked about the declining trust of pastors in a part of an episode back in January. All of those links are going to be in the show notes. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting, informative, and helpful. Check out the show notes again for those links that we've talked about, the link to the story that we were discussing, and the podcast and a couple other articles that are there. The address for that, for the show notes, is plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/080521. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So if you use those platforms, you can subscribe to the podcast there. And if you are inclined to do so, rate the podcast there and help others discover it. I would appreciate that. If you know of others who would be interested in this episode or the podcast in general, and can share that with them, that would be great. I would appreciate that as well. If you see a link to a news story that you think might make for a good discussion, you can email that to me, andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter.